Ding dong merrily on. Hiya!
And welcome to a Christmas version of Tell Me More.
A Christmas special, if you will. Here we are. Also, we can see... No. You can see us.
And we can see you. I know what you're doing. Get your hand off your penis.
Put that down.
Keep it down.
Keep fiddling around with it. It'll fall off.
So stupid.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Crimbo. God, it's almost like Christmas is in October.
It's come very early this year, hasn't it?
It has. Look how festive everything is. We're by the fire.
And we're in a cottage right now.
We are.
We've spared no expense. We have our Christmas set.
Yeah, with our Christmas gang.
We're here with, Scott and Jazz and producer Louis.
Yeah, we're here with Scott and Jazz. Oh, and title, Louis.
Hello.
Well, we've never had someone do that bit for us.
No, it's been me.
Yeah.
And I don't like it. I feel like I'm out of control. I'm going to go crazy.
Yeah, if we look a bit out, like a bit uncomfortable. Firstly, it's because you can see us and we're not having to, we usually just like lie down doing this.
Yeah, I've normally just got my cock out. I feel like this.
Festivities. Shall we cheers to Christmas?
Oh, sounds like a great idea.
Not only, but... Tell Me More branded mugs.
And you can get them from Redbubble.
I'll pop a link in the description.
Cheers.
Cheers. Pop them there so you can see. And then you can see the whole time what you're watching. What are we watching? That's it. Tell me more.
With Matt and Dan.
Shall we?
Let's go straight into it.
Our Christmas fact. Funnily enough, just in case we didn't think of it, we forgot how to talk. I've got some Christmas questions for us to just start.
Okay, excellent.
Start the flow. No one's really heard from us since March, have they? When we got really drunk. Since then, I've been sober.
Yeah, we've changed a lot from that time. Everything's changed.
What kind of Christmas decoration style do you like? Do you like colourful Christmas decorations, or do you like the silver and goldy ones?
No, I think I'm a warm tone man. I feel like if it's too, gold, it has to be gold.
Really?
Yeah. I feel like it's too stark white and it feels a bit KKK. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I really like the, and it's like a deep green with red, blue, and like there's lots of different colors. Yeah. That just reminds me a bit of like, I don't know, just like in my head, that's Christmas growing up.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. That is a very good point, Daniel.
Another good question I've written. Do you like Christmas? Do you like Christmas?
Do I like getting free things? Of course I do.
Hey, good. Nothing's for free.
Everything's for free if it's given to me. Yeah. I do like Christmas. I like, there's two Christmases that we have. We've got an English Christmas.
You were born on a leap year, weren't you? So a Christmas leap year. You've only had two.
I've got several Christmases that I go to, really. We've got an Australian Christmas and we've got an English Christmas. And like the English Christmas is proper cold and it's like you get all rugged up, num, num, num. But then Australian Christmas over here. It's jam hot. That's what it is.
It's so hot. Makes no sense to have a fire on.
I am sweating. It's not right.
Sorry for the audio listeners. We need to keep them in our nearest and dearest, the audio listeners.
Yeah, that's very true.
Just for context, we've been saying, look at this, look at that. We're sitting in front of a fireplace right now, red brick and everything, with nice little Christmas decorations. Hop onto your viewing platform to see it. We go straight on to the fact.
I love a good fact, me.
All right. So
we've not done this in ages.
I know.
It's so weird. All right, go on.
A traditional Japanese Christmas dinner is KFC.
Okay. All right. Wow. Dan, tell me more. Christmasly.
Right, Matt. So for you and me, and most of the Western world,
yeah,
Christmas dinner usually is turkey, ham, the trimmings.
I thought you meant we had to go there. I was like, yeah, I'm going to get my teeth done. It's going to be great. It's going to be gorgeous. I love a Christmas with new teeth.
Oh. If anyone's got him as on his Secret Santa, Mountain's new teeth.
New set of nostrils. Nom, nom, nom.
Matt.
Yes.
What do you usually have for your Christmas dinner?
That's okay. Here we go. I have Christmas dinner on Christmas Eve because we don't want to cook on Christmas Day because it's too jam hot. And so what we do, pigs in blankets, number one, has to be there. We got a turkey crown, which is unlike a turkey. It's smaller. So you don't have to buy the big fucker. Do you know what I mean?
A chicken.
Yeah, that's something. They've been getting away with selling us a turkey crown by selling us a chicken by calling it a turkey crown.
Turkey crown's essentially snake oil.
Bastards. But yeah, turkey crown, smaller. Then we cover that in bacon. So we've got extra bacon on there. We got sprouts. Absolutely. Roast tatties. Our Christmases have changed over the years. We've got cheesy parsnips and we've got honey busted carrots and then more. There's probably more. I forget. Love from a family. What do you have? What do you have for your Christmas? Oh, I know, because I have it.
Yeah, as I was gonna say, that's not the only Christmas dinner you have. You have about three Christmas dinners over. You don't cook on Christmas Eve,
yeah,
because on Christmas Day you come to my house and have another Christmas dinner.
I try and go to as many people's houses as possible. Jasmine's house. Sometimes I go to Jasmine's house and have a Christmas dinner there. That's nice. Louis' house. Sometimes I go to Louis' house and have a Christmas dinner there.
Your life's essentially like that Vicar of Dibley Christmas special.
And I love it. Everyone loves a Christmas dinner. You don't gain weight from a Christmas dinner.
No.
And that's a fact. COVID was a lie.
I'm not sure how well I'm going to be able to edit around the podcast when it's got visual. So in Japan, it's incredibly common to have KFC for your Christmas dinner, and people have to pre-order as early as November to get your KFC Christmas dinner. And on Christmas Day, there's huge queues looping around because everybody wants to get a bit of Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Why?
For Christmas.
I don't. Okay. All right.
Matt, come on. Yep. How long have we been doing this podcast? You don't need to ask me why. You know that I'm going to have some more information for you. You daft Christmas aper.
For some reason, I feel like you one day you're going to tell me a fact and then not go into it.
Well, it's better than probably some of the past 2 years where I've told you non-facts.
Yeah. Okay. You know, that's a very good point. Who's not gone to the Antarctic? Liza Minnelli, she's not gone.
Do you have fact? Do you have credibility for that fact?
No. I'd like to apologize for the fact that I've just said. Go on.
Christmas orders make up a third of the revenue for KFC annually in Japan.
Statistics. I love it. Thank you for bringing me some maths. I love it. Great work.
Chris Maths. So, what's Christmas like in Japan?
What? I don't know. You're oh, okay. The fact.
I'll have a look and see what it says.
Was that a rhetorical question?
No. Yes. Maybe. Do you have an idea?
White. Oh, no. It's like white Christmas.
Oh. It is. Yeah. Yeah. It is. It's in winter. It's a winter Christmas. So it's actually the opposite of how things are traditionally celebrated here.
What did he do? Set fire to a donkey.
We usually put donkeys in ice baths.
Yeah, we do. Because they're boiling in Christmas time. Oh,
in Japan.
Yeah.
Christmas is a time for hanging out with your friends and couples and things. And you make plans to meet with your friends for dinner and things like that. Whereas New Year's Eve is the time to spend with your family.
Oh.
So in the West, usually Christmas is for your family. New Year's Eve, you have a party with your mates, don't you?
Okay.
Bloody switcheroo in Japan. And New Year's the time of the year when all the members of the family come together, visit a temple and usher in the new year on January 1st with food and drinks.
Okay.
So one fun fact about the holiday season in Japan,
yeah,
is that Christmas Eve is the most romantic day of the year.
Why?
for couples, it's the Japanese version of Valentine's Day.
Okay.
But Valentine's Day and White Day are things that are in Japan as well.
Okay.
Not what you think.
Tell me more. What's White Day?
So White Day is celebrated annually on March 14th, and it's 1 month after Valentine's Day. If you didn't know how the calendar works.
I've never seen one.
So on Valentine's Day, the men get gifts, and then whoever gives you a gift on Valentine's Day, say a woman gives you a gift, on White Day, you have to give a gift back.
What if you're gay?
Valentine's Day is pretty busy. White Day is pretty quiet. But I think friends do it as well.
No, but like the men get gifts. So then if you're a gay Japanese person.
No, so that's for Christmas Eve is when it's like for couples. So on Valentine's Day, like it, even friends, you'd give a male friend a gift.
Oh.
And then, but whoever gives you a gift on White Day on March 14th, yeah, they have to give it back.
Do you know why it's called White Day?
I can tell you why it's called White Day, if you'd like.
Yeah, if you got, you Googled it.
I have the Googled
image. Oh, wow, this is amazing. Yeah,
perfect.
Please.
So the day was so named because the color white is considered a symbol of purity and is closely associated with the innocent kind of teen love in Japanese culture.
Lovely. Thank you, Louis.
Wow.
You're welcome.
I loved that. That's great. Thanks, Louis.
Perfect. You're going to fact check from now on. If he's chatting shit, tell me what's going on. All right. I'm going to sit here.
And that began in Japan in 1978.
Yeah. Okay. Louis?
Not sure on that one.
Okay. I'll get back to you.
Here's the thing though.
Segway.
Christmas. Yeah. Do you remember we were talking about that?
Yeah.
Christmas isn't even a national holiday in Japan. Only 1% of the population is Christian.
Oh, okay. But then again, like we are not practicing Christians, but
we're very good at it.
Jesus. But like, we're not practicing, but we still celebrate it because it's a holiday.
Yeah. But it's not in Japan.
Maybe it's just a Western thing.
Yeah. Yeehaw.
Godzilla.
But the Japanese, they just love all the joy and festivities.
Okay.
One of the big traditions is Christmas lights. They love them. So from the middle of November until St. Valentine's Day, seasonal lighting events all over the country. Shopping malls, restaurants, and public areas.
I love you listing things.
They have incredible light displays.
If you just take it out of context, you're just like, shopping malls, restaurants.
I'm listing all the things in Buenos Aires where the capybaras are.
Library, box,
schools. It's amazing what they got. They got power.
Okay.
But so, Matt, we don't have to do this anymore.
Yeah, perfect. So it's just like Blackpool Illuminations all year long.
No, from, I said, from mid-November to St. Valentine's Day.
That sounds like a year to me. It's a year. What's the closest planet to the sun?
Mercury.
How many days in Mercury? Think about that.
But Matt, you don't have to imagine these Christmas lights. I brought them here. No, but we're visual now. We can watch them.
Wow.
And I can show you and everyone at home. And if you're an audio listener, Matt, you have a good go at describing what you're seeing.
Okay.
An advert.
Okay. Pyramid light. Disney castle. Trees. Oh, lovely merry-go-round. Oh, it's actually quite impressive.
Considering that it's not like a national holiday or anything like that.
They go all out. They're very techie though, aren't they? Very techie. Okay, that's incredible. Wow.
How did KFC become a Christmas staple?
Is it poultry-based KFC?
So, shall I just say, just in case, someone doesn't know, Kentucky Fried Chicken. It's a restaurant chain.
Oh, wow. Your mind's been opened, children. You're welcome. I honestly don't know. I think, is it the easiest way to get some form of poultry? It's like, oh, they get a lot of chicken in.
You're close.
Brilliant. It's kind of like Red Rooster over here. Some people will purchase their chuck from the Rooster of Red.
It's true.
I said chuck.
You said chuck.
I'm Australian. Yeah.
So the first KFC was opened in... The first Japanese KFC was opened in Nagoya in November 1970. Oh. Now imagine if I forgot to mention that it was a Japanese KFC and randomly... It's actually called Nagoya Fried Chicken and they had to change it for marketing purposes.
Okay.
So for a bit of context as well, 1970s Japan had an interesting relationship with America and the rest of the world.
Yeah.
Because it's about 30 years after World War II, you know, the bombing of Pearl Harbor, Hiroshima, Nagasaki. Merry Christmas, everyone. Hopefully
we've got a gift for you.
Yeah, hopefully.
Bang!
Hopefully between opening your presents, you're not thinking about the nuclear apocalypse too much.
Oh, it's sad though, isn't it?
It's a terrible shame.
Tell me why they like chicken though.
After the war, up until the early 1960s, Japan was occupied by America. Once the occupation was over, they experienced a great amount of industrial and economic prosperity.
Oh.
Why is that bad?
It's kind of like when Western countries come into another country and it's like, hey, we're going to make your country better.
No, it's after America left, they experienced economic prosperity.
Even better.
That's why you were like, oh. It's like, what?
Ow. We want the West to succeed. No, we don't. Socialism.
Yeah, so they got economic prosperity. And then... Because of that as well, the relations between Japan and the West got stronger.
Lovely. At the part of the Five Eyes.
Aye.
Hey. Who's that? England, New Zealand, Canada, America, Japan.
You can't spell any of those with I.
Shut up. Now they all share intelligence between the five of them.
Like we share intelligence between us.
Well, you share intelligence to me and I harbor mine.
And then twice a year.
Once every few moments.
You drip feed.
But most of it's just about my life. I'm just like, so where I'm from?
You're famously a bumblebee, yes?
Absolutely. A buzz buzz.
Just to give an idea. So before the war, Japan was a lot more closed off from the world. So even up until the First and Second World War, they
like
had...
Shogun.
I literally have written down here, it had Ghost of Tsushima and Shogun kind of vibes. We share intelligence.
We do. I love Ghost of Tsushima.
That's why I wrote it down.
Tsushima.
Happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas.
Merry Christmas. And do you know what happened as well when they're all like that?
What?
Before the war. And very traditional.
You know all those Japanese were like before they were bloodthirsty bastards.
I didn't say that.
It's before the war.
Yeah.
Don't make it sound awkward, Dan.
I'm trying so hard to not to. Shogun kind of vibes. And the Mongols who kept, remember they invaded twice? And it was a coincidence because the same storm hit them each time?
Oh, yes.
And because they hadn't really, up until that point, had much of a connection with the West, the idea of the custom of Christmas, like during the 1960s and 70s and things, wasn't really understood. Similarly to this way that, like, before today, you didn't really know what White Day was, did you?
The look on your face. You're like, you didn't know what White Day was, did you?
We all knew.
Cool. Bully for you. Isn't that wizard?
No, but you know how...
No, I didn't, Dan. I didn't know what White Day was.
Yeah, so they didn't know what Christmas was.
No, that's understandable. I understand that. All right. Good for them.
Takeshi Okawara, he was the first store's manager and also because...
KFC.
The first KFC in Japan's store manager. And also he became the CEO of KFC Japan.
Okay.
Now he had a thought one night in bed.
Did you know it was in bed?
Yeah.
Does it from your source, does it say while he was sleeping?
No, in bed.
Okay.
He wasn't sleeping.
Okay, he was in bed and so he had this thought. Okay. I'm glad that it's very specific about where he was.
Yeah. It might have been on a futon.
Okay. Oh, it could have. Okay. No, but they don't have conventional beds in Japan, do they?
No, they have futons.
What's a futon?
Nothing. What's a futon with you?
Stupid.
So he thought of a Christmas party barrel.
Ooh. Oh.
What, full of chicken?
Yeah, he was the KFC manager.
But a party barrel?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, tell me more.
So at this point, there wasn't a staple Christmas dinner solidified in Japan. They didn't really know too much about Christmas. So Takeshi, he's like, let's make a Christmas party barrel at KFC.
Let's cash in.
Because Christmas dinners weren't really solidified in Japan, because, like you said, turkey's really hard to get there. Remember before you said about poultry?
Oh, yeah.
That's how I said you were kind of right, because turkey was really hard to get. So he thought, let's make a Christmassy KFC bucket.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
So, yeah. So there was a gap in the market that he filled in 1974. And the concept of a KFC Christmas went national with the campaign. You ready to hear the name of the campaign?
No.
What about now?
Yes. No. Yeah. No. Can you just pour me?
KFC went national with the campaign Kurismasu Niwa Kentucky. Now, Matt, do you think you could translate what I just said?
Christmas.
Yep.
What was the next one? Niwa.
Niwa Kentucky.
Okay. Last one's going to be Kentucky.
He's good.
Niwa could be chicken. Christmas chicken Kentucky.
It's really quite easy.
Niwa.
Do you want me to just...
No way!
Christmas? No way!
Kentucky! Christmas? No way! Kentucky! That's great. Well done. Tell me what Niwa... Why are the Geordies in Japan? Geordie short in Japan.
I can't believe that I had to eat fish that wriggled about yesterday.
I smashed an absolute worldie at fucking Portamon World. She was called Jinx and she had baps right up to here. I smashed an absolute worldie at Wagamama's.
So that means Kentucky for Christmas.
Oh,
that's why I said it was simple.
Niwa.
Yeah, Niwa just means four.
Fuck.
No, four.
Oh, sorry. It was the other.
Do you want to hear some other Japanese phrases?
Yeah.
See what you think this is.
Oh, God.
Teru Mia more. Did you hear what I said?
Oh, tell me more.
Yeah, there we go.
Say it again.
Teru mia moa.
Sounds Italian.
Yeah, but that's because...
Teru mia moa.
But like, if you wanted to ask someone in Japan to tell you more, like we do on this podcast.
Ooh.
You'd say, moto oshieta kudasai. That just means, please tell me more.
Moto oshieta.
Moto?
Moto?
Oshiete.
Moto oshiete kudasai.
Moto oshiete kudasai.
Moto oshiete kudasai.
I'm sure that's not
all right. No.
In any of this.
You have to put the lilt on, otherwise it doesn't...
I'm not sure.
The lilt?
Yeah.
I put the 7-up on mine.
Oshiete kudasai.
The lilt.
If someone says fuck off, you know they mean fuck off. Moto erishete kudasai.
I could be in fucking Osaka or Aberdeen. If I tell you you're a cunt, off. You're a cunt. And then there's also Merry Kurisamusu.
Merry Kurimusu.
Merry Kurisamusu.
I wonder what that could be. L'chaim. Is that it? Are you saying L'chaim? Is it Merry Christmas? Merry Christmas, is that Christmas. What you just said? Yeah.
Brilliant. That's what I brilliant. Mean. So TV ads implied that the Colonel's buckets, like the KFC buckets, were a standard means of celebrating Christmas with family in the West.
Cheeky bastards!
I know. And the concept caught on a really big way, clearly, because of all the sales and things, you know.
All the sales. My kanji.
Right, good job selling.
Oh, big job in selling the chicken for the Japanese.
So the song My Old Kentucky Home, which is like a US Western country song.
Did KFC bring that out? Did they put it out?
It became a Christmas song in Japan.
Okay, now. So every Christmas, they're just listening to country music.
Yeah.
My old Kentucky home.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
And the KFC family bucket became as central to the day as a turkey is in our Christmas dinners.
Wow.
I've got a little advert here to show you.
Great.
Kentucky no family pack ni 新発売 no homemade soup ga 3個 つきました. お得な 3人分 1500円. Kentucky fried chicken です.
Wow.
But I don't know if you heard very much in the background there, they were playing My Old Kentucky Home.
Brilliant. It did look disgusting. Was that what was a part of the meal?
I think it's just like your standard bucket. Like, oh no, they do actually have special items. Like, they do have like a Christmas cake. Have we got a fact check coming in?
Chicken legs, tenders, nuggets, and even a whole roast chicken. Mm. There's also tasty sides like coleslaw, shrimp gratin, and triple berry tiramisu. And wait. The triple berry tiramisu is the Japanese Christmas cake.
There we go.
Wow. How fun.
So KFC, being the center point of Christmas, was also fueled by the fact that Colonel Sanders looks a little bit like Santa Claus.
That is hilarious.
So all they did was pop a Santa hat on him and say that was close enough to good old Saint Nick.
Oh, he was actually a very sad man. He didn't actually see much of his wealth.
I think he did.
Mm-mm.
There was a lot of legal disputes.
Yeah.
I actually did have a segment, which I've now taken off because it took way too long to talk about, of how we could become Kentucky colonels.
As in corn.
Also, red and white are colours of good luck in Japan, and that's why it's on their flag.
Oh, red, yeah, very, very lucky.
And white. Very, like Louis said.
Like Louis is.
So there are some cases that the 1% of Christians there did spread the word of Christmas.
Cases. It was reported to the police. In some cases.
True crime podcast.
Oh, no, but that's sad because in Japanese history, Christians were reported to the...
It's all right. We can joke about Christians. They haven't had enough about them.
God. No. But like Japanese Christians were killed.
It's a shame, isn't it? It's a
shame. Oh, it's a Christmas shame. Oh.
Sorry. So there's some instances where the 1% of Christians did spread the traditional word of Christmas, but most of Japan mainly know about Christmas down to marketing. But.
Oh.
But marketing's changed Christmas around the world for pretty much anyone, hasn't it? Mm. Coca-Cola. Look, what does my screen say right
Have
now?
Have you heard that Santa mainly looks like the way he does? Now we're going to Coca-Cola! Well, yeah, Coca-Cola Bear as well. You know the scary Christmas bear?
That is an urban legend.
What do you mean?
It's a popular belief that he only wears red because of Coke, but there was a few times before in like the fourth century, as early as the fourth century, sorry, that he wore red.
Okay. When are we going to talk about the bear that I brought up? I was like, oh, the Christmas bear. You're like, that is an urban legend.
I don't know what you're talking about. There's never been a bear. That's the urban legend. Mandela effect.
He was just
never
that's the Mandela effect more than anything. you fully gaslit me in front of my face. That is an urban legend. He never wore red. Who?
Santa.
Oh, perfect. Now talk about the fucking Christmas bear.
I don't know anything about the fucking Christmas bear.
Yeah,
I've got all this shit about fucking Santa. And a Merry Christmas to you too.
Yeah, Santa.
It's so hot.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's jam hot. Coca-Cola had the Christmas bear, the polar bear.
Yeah.
Who didn't wear red.
He had a scarf, red scarf.
Did he?
Yeah.
Well, I thought that was an urban legend.
No, it's Santa being red because of Coca-Cola.
Oh, no, no, no. I know why he wore red.
Why?
Why does he wear red? Not because of Coca-Cola, obviously, because that is an urban legend.
It's an urban legend. But there were a few times before where he wore red. Christmas man, Santa.
Old Saint Nick.
Yeah.
What a lad.
And there's the pictures of him wearing scarlet robes back in the 4th century.
Because of Coca-Cola.
Yeah. Good. He was also known to wear blue, green, tan, and brown clothing.
Wow!
Whereas he mainly wears red now.
Okay.
The original Saint Nick wasn't particularly tubby either.
Mm.
He was usually illustrated with a slim, gaunt face.
Why?
I don't know. So it was Coca-Cola in the 30s, the 1930s, and specifically an artist named Haddon Sundblom.
Did he?
Who illustrate?
He had a Sundblom?
Yeah.
Haddon Sundblom.
Haddon Sundblom. He'd have been able to illustrate us. He was an illustrator. Did I say that?
No! Brilliant.
No, I said artist Haddon Sundblom.
Okay.
And he illustrated the paintings of him in the 1960s with portly stature, bushy beard, and a coke red outfit.
Because he started eating all of the cookies and the milks.
Probably, yeah.
And in German, Milch.
Milch. So yeah, that's a bit of a roundup of that fact about the Japanese KFC Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
But it's Christmas Day, Matt, or maybe around that day. And we haven't really confirmed the time to release this.
October 12th.
But it wouldn't be Christmas without some fun and games. So we've got a new segment to introduce, Matt.
Is that Louis Christmas Crackers?
It is. The newest segment we want to call Louis Christmas Crackers. The Christmassy crackery time where we do pretty much trivia for the past 2 years of Tell Me More, and it's a little competition. Could you explain it any better than I could?
So, Louis has been listening to all of our past episodes for the past 3 weeks. He's quite upset by listening to our voices for such a long time. And he spent all day in the back garden, crying, really. And he's come to us with numerous trivia questions about our past episodes.
Okay, well, here we are. Louis Christmas Crackers.
Welcome to Louis Christmas Crackers.
Got a little joke in there, have you?
Yep.
Is it funny?
It's all right.
Oh.
Right, you ready for the quiz?
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Right.
Little Dan on. As I say,
you had to say Dan and Max.
Yeah, it was.
That's for the Patreon, ladies and gentlemen.
All right.
Massive. So, just so you know, we're going against one another in this.
Yeah.
And so it's going to be a bit tough because I love my little Danny. And I don't want to be versed against you.
No, and I don't want to be versed against you because you're incredibly competitive and I'm scared you'll actually punch me lights out.
And I will win.
I will say I've tried to make this hard. And to favour nobody.
Okay.
I do feel also, like Dan has the upper hand.
No, I was about to say, some people might think I have the upper hand, but And what people don't realize is once the episode's done, I flush that fact out of my head to the point that we've recorded a next episode along, Matt's referenced the past fact, and I had no idea what he was talking about. It's a bit of an issue, but we'll get on with that next year.
No.
New Year's resolution.
Memory like a memory. Goldfish.
So here we go. Louis' Christmas crackers.
Okay.
I'm starting off with a very hard one.
Are we buzzing in?
I kind of want to hear an answer from both of you.
Okay.
So maybe we'll alternate who goes first.
Yeah, that sounds good.
With the answers.
Let's just honor what our first answer is going to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't change your answers.
Absolutely.
You got the answer in your head?
Okay.
A gentleman's promise.
A lady's kiss.
Are we all ready for question number one?
Question number one. Here we go.
Question number one. So in episode number one, at the very start, you start by saying, how many times can we say lucky? How many times did you say lucky?
Oh,
I'm going to let Matt answer first on this one.
Okay.
Combined between you and Dan, how many times do you say
between lucky? Both of us.
Yeah. How many times do you say lucky in the whole episode?
In the whole episode?
Yeah.
You wrote down how many times we said lucky.
I did.
Okay.
Oh, you boring bastard.
The closest to it gets the point.
Okay. Shall I go first?
And I'm not going to, but I'm not going to do.
Have you got an answer in your head?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
As soon as I say my answer, you have to say yours.
Yeah.
14.
8.
The answer is actually the unluckiest number.
13.
Yes!
Ah! Oh, I love winning!
I was on edge there because I didn't know if you were going to say 7 or 13 as well.
Well, it's also because there's like two of us and I was like, oh, we probably
lucky.
We probably said it at least 7 times each.
Well, okay.
But we did. Yeah, yes.
1 point
yes.
to Matt.
Yeah, one point
to me. One me.
Okay.
Question number two.
Yeah?
Yep.
During the Walt Disney episode, Dan tells us the name of his autobiography, which Matt adds in is the name of his fragrance that you can buy in any David Jones. What is the name of Dan's autobiography / fragrance? Dan, you're going first on this one.
Is it Stinky Water?
I was going to say Stinky Water.
Is that final answer from both?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The answer is 100% Dan.
Oh! Wait, so...
Your fragrance.
That's funny. Stinky Water. Oh, it's, yeah, okay.
Okay, 1-0 to Matt still.
So Stinky Water, if you've listened to the first episode, is what they pump out into
the Pirates of the Caribbean ride.
Into the Pirates of the Caribbean ride.
Question number three.
Yep.
Matt, you go first on this one.
Okay.
Who is Harold Van Bronholt?
Okay. Well, he's the creator of the little sea monkeys. He's also the creator of a stick, which is sort of like the Cat of Nine Tails. And he is a white supremacist.
That is correct. Dan, I'm going to go ahead and assume you knew that as well.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. And I was going to try. Yeah. One off it by saying the telescopes.
Tell me more.
No, it was the telescopic pole, I think it was called, because it was a retractable pole.
Mm.
And he sold that into kids as well.
And who was his biggest competitor? Mattel!
Since then, Barbie movie came out.
Absolutely.
That was kind of on us. Yeah,
you're welcome, Barbie.
That was on us.
Okay, question number four.
Yep.
In the words episode.
Oh, I haven't listened to that in a while.
Dan told us the word with the most definitions. Now, Dan, you're going first on this one.
Yep.
I want you to tell us the original word with the most definitions.
Yeah.
And then Matt, I would like you to tell me the one that overtook that word.
Fuck. Because I know the other one.
I'm going to give each of you a point.
Yeah.
If you get yours.
I know your answer. That's the annoying thing. Is it on?
Is that your final answer?
No.
I know the answer to it, so let me do it.
Do you know the first bit?
I know both of them.
Okay, I know the second one as well.
Matt, I'm going to let you go with this one.
Yeah, let's throw it over to Matt.
So it's do and set.
I remember set.
I'm afraid, Matt,
You're wrong.
Oh. Yeah.
Bastards.
You're do's right. The meaningless do.
No, you're right with set.
Set is right.
Okay, set was...
Set was the first one.
Yeah. What?
Set was the first one.
Oh, set. Oh, it's a more of a technology one. Set is the first one.
I'm going to give the point to whoever thinks of the next one first.
I'm thinking like something to do with like play and pause. Stop.
Do we need a clue?
Yes.
It is something that I love to do.
Run.
Oh, well done.
No, I knew because it was something to do with technology because now you run piece like you yes. run like more electronics.
Yeah. Oh, I was so sure it was set and do.
I was so sure it was set because I was thinking television set and stuff like that.
Yeah, TV but set.
I couldn't remember run. Yeah, like you run a program now.
3-1.
Two all.
Yeah.
Okay, we're on to question number 5. Can you tell me
more?
How many episodes have gone into the memory box?
Fuck.
I'm going to give the closest answer.
Of all 2 seasons.
Okay.
Of every episode of Tell Me More. I believe it's Matt first on this one.
17.
12.
Final answer for both of you?
Yeah.
Matthew, you're bang on.
Oh, you're kidding me!
17.
That's amazing!
I didn't know it was 17. So,
how many episodes have there been total?
14 episodes last season, and then 13...
The series before?
Sorry, the first season. 14
and 13. This is 14, this series. Sort of.
I'm going to say I'm unwilling to give you the number of episodes there have actually been because that will come up later.
Okay. All right, got you.
On to question number 6.
This is an amazing quiz, by the way.
Perfect quiz. Thank you. Perfect quiz.
I've worked hard.
You have. You've done well.
Can you tell me, Dan, you're going first, how to say the word bull in Penguinese?
Fodder.
It's fodder.
It is fodder.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'm going to give you both the point there.
Catch these fodders.
I know the sentence. If that gives me an extra point.
Dan, do you know the sentence as well?
No. Oh, yes. Sorry, these fodders?
Yeah.
Okay, you both get the point. We're not giving any bonus points about that.
Sorry, these something fodders.
Growlit.
Growlit.
Fodders.
Sorry, these growlit fodders. Fodders. Carol Vorderman.
Carol Vorderman.
Merry Christmas.
Carol Vorderman. Growlit. Next question.
Okay, question number 7. This question is brought to you by ChatGPT.
Brilliant.
You did an episode on capybaras in Argentina.
Yes.
I've got 2 facts and a lie about capybaras. I need you to tell me which one is the lie.
Well, this is unfair.
Matt, you are going first on this.
Yeah, you're going first anyway.
Fuck.
Okay, fact or lie, number 1. Capybaras can communicate through a variety of vocalizations, including barks, whistles and clicks. Number 2, they have a unique social structure, often living in groups of up to 30 individuals. And number 3, capybaras are strict herbivores and cannot digest grass without the help of external bacteria.
I think it's the second one because they, well, you said individuals. That does not necessarily mean capybaras.
Just remember, I got this off ChatGPT, so, I mean, take everything with a pinch of salt, really.
Okay, yeah, I'm just going to say the second one.
Yeah. Dan, what are you going for?
I'm
going
to say the third one. I think that's actually about koalas.
It is the third one. Okay, so I have got a bit of an answer here.
Okay.
Capybaras are herbivores. They can digest grass.
Were you meant to say omnivores or carnivores?
I'm saying herbivores.
Okay.
I am.
Like you're saying, I'm just saying what you meant to.
I'm saying whatever ChatGPT told me to say. Is what I'm saying.
Your energy. I don't like it. I don't like being competitive.
Okay. What happens, Dan?
The throwing off point was that they can digest without external bacteria.
I fed a capybara once.
And did it need external help?
From me, yeah. I held the carrot.
It's 4 rule, according to me.
Oh, wow.
Unless I'm wrong. On to question number 8. I need the exact date that Dennis the Menace was created. The closest person will pick up the point here.
Okay.
Dan, I think you'd go first on this one.
Is it April 20th, 1953?
April 21st, 1953.
Before I said, I promise, Matt, I'm not going to do what you did at that pub quiz that time.
And now I'm losing, so I'm playing dirty.
Dan, you said April
20th. 1953.
And you said April
21st. 1953.
Okay. Well, it's the 12th of March, 1951.
Yes! So has Dan won?
Not yet.
We've still got two questions to go.
Two questions to go.
Good. I hate losing.
To be honest, wait, what are we on?
Dan's 5-4. We've got to hope Matt wins this one. He goes to 5-all. And then the last one is just a... It'll be really dramatic. The last one is a tiebreaker.
It'll be really dramatic, yeah.
Okay, so you've done a couple of word episodes.
We have.
I'm two. Saying words and idioms, sayings.
Yeah.
Et cetera,
et cetera. Our favourites.
Hmm.
So I've got a list of 4 words here.
Yep.
I need you to tell me which one is the fake word.
Oh, he's going to get it from that fucking dictionary that Francis Grose wrote.
Mm-hmm. No, I got it from ChatGPT.
Okay, good. Because do you remember what I was talking about? What it was like?
Yeah.
Captain Queernabs and things like that.
Okay, so I've got 4 words here.
And Matt's first, isn't he?
Matt is first on this one.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've got 4 words. I need you to tell me which one is the fake word.
Did these words appear in the podcast, the ones that are true?
No, they are just words that mean something.
Yeah.
A. Sesquipedalian.
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 What does sesquipedalian mean?
Given to or characterized by the use of long words.
Sesquipedalian. Okay. Next one.
Flockenauschnilipification.
Flockenauschnilipification.
I believe that's mainly said around Newcastle and Liverpool.
Flocking what?
Flockenauschnilipification. The estimation of something as worthless.
Okay.
Privilegiate.
Privilegiate.
Mm. Which is to shorten something. And we've got mumpsimus.
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 Yeah.
It's a traditional idea or custom that is considered to be unreasonable.
Can you say the words?
Sesquipedalian. Flockenauschnilipification. Privilegiate. Mumpsimus.
Third one.
First one.
Matthew, you're right.
Oh! I'm so happy.
Privilegiate is a fake word. Everything else is a real word.
Perfect. Okay, now this is stress. Now it's just adding more stress. I don't like it. I don't like it. I want a burger.
Which leads me on to my last question.
Cheeky no, it doesn't. Burger.
Okay, it is 5-all.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
I'm surprised I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm surprised I made it to this round.
Okay, we're on to the final question. It is 5-all.
Oh, God.
Between Matt and Dan.
Cunt.
This couldn't have really gone any better. I'm actually really happy this has gone this way. The last one's a math question. I'm going to need you to do the sums and give me the final number that you come to.
Yep.
So, in the chip shop episode, Dan tells us a couple of facts. Chip shops in England outnumber McDonald's by this number to 1. And I need you to write down that number. I need you to times that by the amount that chip shops outnumber McDonald's in Australia.
Okay.
Okay, so you've got a number. No, there's still more. I hate to break it to you. There is still more.
Okay.
You've got a number there, though, right?
Each day we stray further from God.
I need you to minus the amount of movies that were made about the Titanic. We learned this in
the Titanic Series 2, episode 1.
From what I remember, you didn't really put a... You just kind of left for a while and then you came back.
See, now I know the number of that.
I
I don't know the number for Australia.
Then I'm going to need you to plus the total number of episodes.
Okay.
You guys have recorded?
Yep.
That's why I didn't want to spoil it earlier.
Right. I'm trying to remember how to do maths now. And that's addition.
Since this is Christmas, I've thrown a little Christmas twist into it.
Okay. No, we're not even impressive. Yeah. What?
In the hit Christmas song, 12 Days of Christmas, how many swans were swimming? I need you to divide the number you have there.
Fuck you!
That's the amount of swans that were swimming.
Can we just team up and work out which are the swans swimming?
Seven swans are swimming. I don't know how to
I'm just finding...
This is my fatal flaw. You put me in any character's role, I'll do it. I'll jump right in. Ask me to divide a number into seven, I'm dead.
I think I just found the closest number I was at and then put it to the closest seven times tables number. And
that's not a bad...
I'm just hoping for the best. Because it is divisible by seven. We're not going into decimals, I'm sure.
I don't care.
Oh god, I'm sorry. I thought it'd be fun. It's obviously not fun.
Maths. Fun.
Maths isn't fun. Oh shock, maths isn't fun. Okay. All right. We both got an answer.
Is it closest numbers wins?
Yeah. Can you give me a slip?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking pillock.
You might win though, because I had to change my answer.
He's not gonna win. That's numbers 83. 83.
Wait, so you had over 1,000? As because 83 times 7.
What have you done? I don't know maths.
That's okay.
What have you done here?
Am I close?
Daniel, bang on. You're the winner of the quiz. I've ruined a friend. I feel like I've not only ruined your friendship, but I've ruined my friendship with Matt.
Just read the answer and we'll be good.
I'll never be invited back on.
That's four.
Okay, so there are... Okay. Chip shops in England outnumber McDonald's 10 to 1. Times by...
Three?
Four.
See?
Chip shops in Australia outnumber McDonald's 4 to 1.
Do you think I did?
I'm just trying to...
I can't believe you... A maths question about the shit that we've talked about for the fucking... How many episodes that we've done? 14 episodes in season one. And then however many episodes in this. It's like, we don't even talk about maths. Are you kidding? This is ludicrous.
I thought the breakdown in this episode would have been from me because you knew that they ate KFC at Christmas in Japan.
Well, we know where KFC is going now, don't we?
I genuinely thought it would be a bit of fun.
Oh yeah, it's so fun.
I could have told you that maths would not have been a good idea because genuinely I hate maths more than anything as well.
I can't believe you made us do maths. A maths puzzle about a fact group. You could have asked us any single question.
It's really hard to be mad though, because I won.
Okay.
Do you know what will cheer you up, Matt? Some more Christmas traditions. Woo! No, you'll enjoy these, I promise.
Good.
So, would you like to hear about some other strange traditions around the world?
Absolutely.
While Louis thinks about what he did.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Christmas in Iceland. So Icelandic kids, they don't just get Santa Claus, one man.
Mm.
They get
Svartepit. Sorry, that's in the Netherlands.
No, yeah, they get 13 mischievous trolls roaming the country the fortnight before Christmas.
Okay.
And they're called Jólasveinar, also called the Yule Lads.
Yule Lads. Okay, I like that. That's so much better than maths.
And they they all have different personalities as well.
Does one of them start just chatting maths?
Close. Do you want to hear the order of them?
Okay.
So there's Stekjastor. He translated is sheep coat clod.
Okay.
He's the first Yule lad who comes to town on the night before the 12th of December.
Yep.
And also the first to depart for home on the 25th of December. So they all come in and then the fortnight after they all go one by one.
Okay. What does he do?
Sheepcoat Clod was said... I'll tell you now. Sheepcoat Clod was said to harass sheep, suck milk from them, and was also known for having two stiff peg legs. Merry Christmas. There's Giljagor or Gully Gork. So he did the same, but with cows.
It's just, it's so swift to say.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we did it with sheep.
Well, we've got 14 days to get through.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Brilliant.
December 14th, we've got Stufer or
Stufer
or Stubby. Stubby was known for being unusually short and for stealing pans so he could eat the crust left on them.
Wow.
He just used his one. That's what he did. December 15th. We've got a word I can't pronounce because it doesn't use letters in the Roman alphabet, but translate.
It's just,
could be. But his name translates and he doesn't need much more definition. Spoon liquor.
Brilliant. Jesus Christ.
After that, you've got Potterskeville, which is pot scraper.
Okay.
Asker sleeker. Bowl liquor. Herder skiller. Door slammer. Skyrgummer. Skyrgobbler.
What gobbler?
Skyr is an Icelandic dairy product similar to yogurt.
Oh.
So he just goes around gobbling yogurt.
Okay, perfect.
Sausage swiper. December 21 is window peeper. December 22, doorway sniffer.
Sounds like Louis.
December 23, meat hook.
It's Louis as well.
And December 24, candle stealer.
Oh.
Yeah. In Catalonia.
Okay.
There's the pooper and the pooping log. The Catalonians, they sneak a little statue of a fella having a poo in the nativity scene. They also have a little log with a smile on one end and a blanket on the other. This stays on the table during Christmas dinner, and then after the dinner, the log poops out all the presents for the kids.
Wow.
Do you want to see a picture?
No. Okay. It looks like a Colin in the Caterpillar.
Venezuelans roller skate to church for morning mass.
on Christmas or just...
Yeah.
Okay.
Mass. Morning mass. Oh, Christ. Christ's mass. You know Krampus, don't you? You mentioned him before.
Why, yeah, I know Krampus.
Yeah, scary. The German Santa.
Yeah, scary.
Yeah, Santa's evil counterpart, sorry, in Austria. A demon-like creature with one task, to punish bad children before Christmas.
Okay.
Men dressed in devil costumes roam the streets on behalf of Krampus, carrying chains in a basket for abducting especially bad children and hauling them to hell. So, Matt...
Not yet.
Okay.
In the Dutch
colonies.
In the Dutch festivities.
We still are trying to find Michael Rockefeller.
In the Dutch festivities, you've got Santa, but then you've got Zwarte Piet. And Zwarte Piet is a white man in blackface that is basically sooted on the face, who goes around your home and breaks things and just throws things around, and is a menace in society. It's just sad that he's represented as a black man.
And I was about to say an even bigger shame, probably not. Another shame is that I had that reserved for next year's Christmas special.
Oh, did you?
Well, it was one of the things, because I've obviously there's only a finite amount of traditions around the world.
I've got Dutch friends.
Sweater beat. So Matt, I'm going to ask you the question. Moto hanasete oreshideska.
What does that mean, Dan?
That means, are you glad I told you more?
That is a great question. The facts that you've told me are very interesting.
Can I also just say I had no involvement with Louis' quiz? And me winning was just by circumstance.
Absolutely. What was no in Japanese again?
Yeah. Yeah.
To answer in Japanese, Dan. Oh, hi!
Hey!
I do think it's quite funny that the Japanese eat KFC on Christmas Day because it's just stupid. But then also, I enjoyed this episode across the whole way because it made me feel a lot throughout it. It made me feel a certain point of you not listening to me. It made me feel neglected in information with Louis' little pieces that he threw in. And it also just made me laugh across the whole point. So if anything, enjoyment is the true winner here. And it's going to go into the Christmas box for all your presents at home.
But you can join us next year, just us two. We'll just be us two, for some more facts and more fun. In the meantime, we'll be uploading a bit more to the YouTube channel as well. We'll be putting all our old episodes up on there. Absolutely. Obviously, we don't have video for those.
Yep.
And you can follow us on Instagram as well. Tellmemore.pod.au. That's tellmemore.pod.au on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And check out the link below. If you go on to, I think even if you go onto Redbubble and search Badger Melon, you can get one of these nifty t-shirts. You can get a cool little hat similar to this one. Thank you, Scott. And you can get yourself a Tell Me More mug.
Ooh.
And you can also mix and match. I think you can get that on a t-shirt. You can get the weird badger. That's a little design Matt and I made.
We were trying to go through what Badger Melon's logo was going to be, and Dan brought me this fucking mental badger, and I love it so much that it had to be its own sticker.
Yeah. And in the meantime, if you've got any facts, fun information that you want to submit, send it through to the Instagram and we'll go through it next year.
We've got one already.
Have we?
We do.
Ooh, I hope to have five more.
Excellent. What do you say, Dan?
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. What do you say, Louis? Fuck you.
Okay, don't care what you have to say.
Thank you so much, everyone. Merry Crimbo. And love you.
Enjoy. Send our love.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Ta-ra. See you later, everyone. Bye-bye. See you later.
How fucking dare you do that to me? Did you have any idea?